Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
We hope you're all having a wonderful day. I always feel kind of weird saying that because then, like, as the episode goes on, like, we go into, like, very hard topics sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, well, I still hope you're having a good day, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, another Wednesday, otro episodio. I don't think we have any updates. I think we're just trying to fly by these holiday days, mm-hmm. make it through. Stephanie with the finals, so
yeah, with the finals.
I kind of miss them.
I mean, I feel like
no.
I understand that, right? Like that, you know, you kind of miss like the school aspect. Uh-huh. But watch, like, if I were to just mention what I'm doing, like literature reviews, abstracts, APA format, like those words.
The abstract already got me. Mm-hmm. I just never understood the need for that. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I like what I'm doing, but sometimes it's just funny because like I do work, right? And then I'm in class or like I'm going to do a little presentation for 20 points. And I'm sitting in my seat and laughing at myself because I'm like really doing something for 20 points. I already graduated from undergrad. I am working. And then I'm back in school and to feel that, like, I'm literally doing this for 20 points.
Just 20 points.
You know? Like, it's kind of funny. Like,
never thought about it, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, now that I've been out in the, you know, quote unquote, real world, you know, like, worked and everything. So it's kind of funny. But well, yeah.
Get them 20 points.
I got to do what I got to do, I guess.
You got to do.
But well, anyways,
we wish you luck on your finals.
Oh, thank you.
Hopefully everything goes well.
Thank you.
It goes smooth.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But, you know. We are here for true crime.
Yes.
This is another episode.
And this one was actually a requested one. Yeah, this case was requested by Esperanza. So shout out to you. Thank you for bringing this case up to us because we actually didn't know about it. And when we started like dipping our toes into it, we quickly realized that this was going to be a hard one to get through.
Yeah, it's one of those like gruesome cases that it just... You know, it's hard to research, hard to listen, and it just questions, like, how can people be so evil, you know? So this case is about Victoria Martins, and she was brutally murdered on her 10th birthday inside her own home. So before we begin this case, we just want to mention that it does involve child abuse, so you wanted to put that heads up out there.
Yeah, and like honestly, feel free to skip this week's episode if like that's what you need. Because I know like when we do review, you know, child abuse cases or like a case that involves a child, it's really hard to talk about. So I can only imagine like also listening about it.
Mm-hmm.
So take what you need. So that this is like us giving you the heads up. Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Let's begin. So, Victoria Martins vivía en Albuquerque, New Mexico, con su mamá Michelle, y ella también tenía a half-brother who was a bit younger than she was. And at the time of the case, which was in 2016, Victoria was going to be 10 and she was a student at Petroglyph Elementary School.
And it seemed like home life wasn't the easiest for Victoria. And a big part of that is because Michelle, her mom, was a single mom. And, you know, that's like, you know, double the work, right?
Yeah.
And we read how she spent most of her time on dating apps, and she was someone who was constantly meeting new guys on dating apps and off dating apps as well.
And like, just a disclaimer, we're not judging Michelle y lo que le gustaba hacer. You know, it's just that was her life. Like, she dedicated a lot of her time to the dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
Y en el mes de julio del 2016, que por cierto fue dos semanas antes de la muerte de Victoria, Michelle conoció a alguien nuevo y él se llamaba Fabián González.
Fabián tenía 37 años, so he was a little younger than Michelle because she was 44 years old. Y los vecinos y amigos de Michelle dicen que Fabián era muy bueno para manipular a Michelle. And it seems like the people that knew them all agreed that Fabián was not a good influence on Michelle.
Yeah, and close friends and again, like neighbors que miraban lo que estaba pasando say that soon Fabian was coming over to Michelle's apartment and kind of just staying there like all day, all night. And it is known that, you know, they were consuming drugs in there. And honestly, this is like a big red flag. Like, I feel like apenas tienen pocas semanas de conocerse and like he's already managed to like basically kind of move into her apartment. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, like she's allowing him to use drugs and she's probably maybe using them too in an apartment where your kids live, mm-hmm. you know? And I just like this is supposed to be the safe spot.
The safe spot. And like, the thing is, like, accidents happen. Sometimes you hear other stories in the mm-hmm. news of, like, how kids got a hold of, like, you know, some kind of drugs and they overdose on that. And it wasn't there intended for them to get it. But, like, yeah. the kids are kids, you know.
They're just going to grab what they can.
They're going to grab it. And if they see the parent do it, they might do it too, you know. Like,
why not?
Kids are sponges. They're going to, like, they copy parents, you know. And another thing is we always say on this podcast, like, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. So I think it's important to, like, you know, if you have children, you have to be careful who you're bringing around because 2 weeks isn't a good gauge of, like, what kind of person this is, you know?
Exactly. And, like, not only did she end up bringing Fabian to the apartment, but later on, una prima de Fabian, quien se llama Jessica Kelly, also ended up moving into Michelle's apartment. And this is a thing. So, like, she had just recently gotten out of prison and apparently Jessica had a history of being violent. I think she was like arrested for like assaulting a police officer or some sort. And so, yeah, so Fabian was like, oh, like, is it okay for my cousin to come stay with us? And Michelle, of course, said yes. So not only do you have like a man that you just met, but now you have his cousin with a history of mm-hmm. being violent, living in your home with your two children. So that's, I don't know. I feel like that would be scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're going to like fast forward to a few weeks after to specifically August 24th, 2016, which like we mentioned earlier was Victoria's 10th birthday.
And so you would think that because it's her birthday, everyone would be celebrating. There would be some type of like party or even a cake or something along those lines. Pero fue todo al contrario. That day, 911 operators received a phone call regarding a domestic dispute over at Michelle's apartment. Y cuando llegaron la policía, se quedaron en shock en lo que encontraron en la casa de Michelle.
And when they get there, they find Jessica inside the apartment. And along with her, they also find Victoria's body, which was dismembered and it was wrapped up in a bed sheet set on fire.
I feel like, you know, the police officers getting this phone call, that's something that they were not going to expect, you know, into an apartment. So obviously, they are shocked, right? And they find that a little girl, Victoria, was brutally murdered inside her own home. And so they wanted to figure out what happened. And so they did an autopsy report. And when that finally came back, it was found that before Victoria was dismembered, she was strangled to death. And she was also sexually assaulted. And with that, the people of interest were Michelle, the mom, Fabian, her, you know, recent boyfriend, and Jessica, the cousin of Fabian.
And this is a tricky part. Like, you would think that this case goes, like, in a straight direction and, like, there's a confession or, you know, evidence and we find out quién le hizo eso a Victoria. Pero cuando empiezan a hablar con ellos tres, cada uno tenía algo diferente que decir. Cuando primero hablaron con Michelle, ella dice... And it sounded like a full confession, y'all. Ella dice que entre los tres le dieron drogas a Victoria and that she watched as Fabian and Jessica raped her. But her exact words were rape, but she was just like, yeah, I watched them have sex with my daughter. And apparently this was not the first time. Like, she enjoyed meeting men and watching them have sex with Victoria, which is sickening, mm-hmm. you know, to say the least. And then she also mentioned that in this particular case, they had to, you know, strangle Victoria in order to calm her down to, you know, I mean, she was being raped, like she was fighting back.
Mm-hmm. So at principio, this sounds like a solid confession and it sounds like authorities can run with that and dig a little deeper. Pero cuando siguen investigando el caso, they quickly realize that all this was a false confession. Parecía que Michelle had this psychological condition that would make her lie a lot. And, you know, they can't really rely on that, right? They have to, like, investigate more and figure out which parts of that story is actually right and which details are false.
And I always wonder, like, what makes a confession be ruled as false? You know, I mean, obviously, yeah, like, if someone has, like, a mental condition or, you know, in this case, a psychological condition, yeah, you would take that into note. But, like, at what point does it just completely get dismissed?
Yeah.
But, like Steph was saying, like, you know, they kept investigating. And Michelle mentioned que le habían dado drogas a Victoria. Pero cuando le hicieron el examen al cuerpo de Victoria, resultó que ella no tenía ninguna señal de que había consumido drogas. So that's how they knew that, for number one, that was a lie. And when they did check to see if she was sexually assaulted, that part was confirmed, you know, from the autopsy. And when they test for DNA, they actually find a fourth DNA sample that doesn't match Michelle nor Fabian or Jessica. So, like, Michelle and Fabian and Jessica, su ADN was on her body. And then on top of that, there was someone else's DNA.
Pero desafortunadamente, this fourth suspect was never found and they could not match it to anyone. But all this did lead to another confession. So when investigators looked into Michelle and Fabian's phone, they realized that their phones weren't at the apartment during Victoria's murder. So they believe that the only ones in the apartment were Victoria and Jessica.
Y cuando hablan con Jessica, she confirms this. She says that, yeah, that it was just them two in the apartment. So it turns out that, you know, Victoria did have a half-brother. And luckily that night he was actually with his biological father. So he was not present when all of this happened. So in the apartment nomás estaba Jessica, who was watching Victoria, mientras que Michelle y Fabian fueron a comprar drogas. And this is, like, the part that kind of, like, got me off guard. So Jessica dice que mientras que está en el apartamento, que de repente un hombre hispano entra al apartamento y que ya when he was inside that he raped and murdered Victoria.
I feel like that's a lot of information to take in. I do want to say, like, luckily Victoria's brother was not home during this time. And so it was just Victoria with all these adults. And so at this point in the story, también, like, there's a fourth person being introduced, and we don't have a name. It's just un hombre hispano que entró al departamento. But, like, in order to enter that home, they must know your name. That person must know what's going on in this apartment.
And who's in the apartment.
Yes, who's in the apartment. And this person wanted to join on this crime. So, like, they have to know his name, you know? Pero Jessica dice que ella estaba muy drogada during this process, and so she wasn't able to help Victoria out.
Yeah. Which is, like, what? Like, so you're just going to sit there and watch, like, all of this happen?
To a little girl.
Yeah, and also the fact that, like, it's, bueno, cuando ella estaba hablando, quién sabe cómo se sentía por dentro, right? But when she was confessing, she never mentioned anything about how she was scared herself. Mm-hmm. Like, or how you would run out of the apartment. Like, si estás viendo que entró un hombre, le está haciendo esto a Victoria. Y tú también estás allí. Like, well, one, yes, you know, try to help Victoria. But two, like, you're also not going to think that maybe he's going to come and do the same to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's so right. Like, she didn't feel unsafe. Like, she knew she was going,
like,
to be okay.
She was just kind of there, like, holy crap type of thing. So it's kind of like what you were saying.
She,
like,
didn't get the fight or flight.
Exactly.
You either get one or the other. Like, that's like.
And she was just there kind of like, whoa, I'm high.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, because I never thought about lo que dijiste tú, que quizás esta persona estuvo ahí porque they wanted to be part of this.
Because how else is someone going to know that a crime is going on?
Like, yeah, this is like the perfect opportunity to do so. Yeah. But yeah, no, Jessica sigue diciendo que ella no sabe quién es esta persona, que este hombre, you know, he was just a tall Hispanic male. That's all she can say.
There were other details that she shared. Ella dice que a few days prior to all this happening, that Fabian had gotten into an altercation with some guys during a barbecue. And so she was kind of hinting that this could have been a result of that. But that was never really confirmed. And that didn't lead to anything. They weren't able to identify that fourth suspect and if he was connected to that fight, you know?
Yeah. I feel like maybe that what could have been information, but yeah, it was just kind of like, well, we have no idea who this person is, or like, how do we even go about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, all in all, it is a bit conflicting, porque quien diga tienen dos diferentes historias de quién le hizo esto a Victoria. And, you know, fortunately, like, some evidence, like the curveball, I feel like that fourth DNA, it's like a really big curveball. And unfortunately, they couldn't do much with it. And at the end, like, no one's really trying to take responsibility as to who murdered Victoria.
Michelle, Fabian, and Jessica all got trials separately, and this was based on the judge's request. And these trials did take some time, and I believe, because we read that Jessica and Fabian's trial even got delayed, but at the end of the day, they were all charged and sentenced.
So the first one that got, you know, to trial was Michelle. And after taking a plea deal, she was sentenced to 12 years in prison. And then next was Fabian and Jessica. Again, they were separate, but they were kind of like around the same time. So Fabian was sentenced to 37 and a half years on October 27th, 2022. And Jessica was sentenced to 50 years on April 29th, 2022. So it did take a while for them to get sentenced. Like, Victoria was murdered in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And they just last year got their sentence.
Yeah.
As for the fourth suspect, till this day, investigators have not been able to identify this male.
And although time has passed and they haven't identified the fourth suspect, many people are hopeful that as the years pass by and like the technology advances, that maybe, you know, soon we'll have that fourth suspect behind bars. For now, investigators, you know, found all the evidence pointing fingers to Fabian, Jessica, and Michelle. And so, you know, there is some justice by capturing three of the adults that did this to a child.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they hope that they can get that fourth person.
Yeah. And just curious, like, what do y'all think about Michelle's sentence? Because she was only sentenced to 12 years in prison. And, like, I mean, I get it if she wasn't home. But, like, she kind of led them to her daughter. And then the fact that in the past she let other men abuse and rape her daughter, I feel like 12 years is nothing.
It's nothing. Like, yeah, I feel like there could be more charges, like child neglect. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. 12 years just seems too small of a time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was Victoria's case. Like we mentioned, it was a very gruesome one. We try not to go into a lot of those details just out of respect for her and her family. And this case was hard. Es difícil estar aquí grabándola and just talking about it and, you know, looking at Victoria's picture. So I don't know how to wrap it up.
Yeah, those like cases involving kids are tough.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you see something, see weird behavior, anything like that, it's always, always good to speak up because, you know, kids, you know, sometimes don't know how to speak up and they don't know what normal is and they might not know what right from wrong is. Mm-hmm. So if you see something and say something. You know,
because yeah. Honestly, yeah, you don't know who you're helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Y como dijimos, like, towards the beginning, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. Be safe and yeah, stay alert with the kids.
Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode and we'll see y'all next week.